podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of the Run Run Live podcast. This is Chris. It's somewhere around August 15th. And, man, I had a rough week. Work isn't going well for me. Well, I mean, it's going like it always goes. I'm in a high-pressure job, so. But, you know, I always got my running. Here's a tip for you. A free tip. This is a free tip. You control how you feel. You control your own emotions, so you can't let other stuff get to you. So, what I would... There's a great book I recommend to people who feel stressed out about their jobs. It's called The Energy Bus by John Gordon. Take you about a half an hour to read it. Great book. Make you feel positive for 3 or 4 days. So that's my free tip. But today, got a great show for you today. I think I'm going to talk to my new friend Ron, who's also running the Vermont 50 Ultra Marathon with me. I am also going to talk about some other things, but I have a great show today. Had good training this week. Over last weekend, I went out. You heard, if you listened to episode 15 and 16, you heard I went out with Brian on Sunday, and we ran the Wapak Trail for almost 4 hours. And on Saturday before that, I put in a couple hours as well. So that's a pretty good time on my feet. This Monday's my off day in this plan. Tuesday, I went out from work here, and in my new Gel Cumulus 9s that I'll tell you about, I felt very light-footed. The heat was not so bad, and it's starting to get a little cooler, so I was flying. I'm really starting to feel the training effect, you know, from all these miles I'm putting in. So I'm feeling a little youthful, achy but youthful. And then Wednesday, I went down the track with my daughter because she's getting ready for field hockey season, and I get a little audio from that as well. And then last night I went out and ran. And what happens in New England now is it gets dark really fast, like 5 minutes less sunshine every day. So every year, I get caught somewhere when the sun goes down. And last night I was out in the woods and got caught. And even though I had my headlamp with me, it was like a full moon. So it was sort of that gray veil between darkness and light where you can't really see anything. And I got lost in the woods and fell down. And it was kind of appalling because it's where I live. I shouldn't be getting lost in the dark. So anyhow, I probably did 9 or so last night. And then this weekend... today's another rough day, and then this weekend I'll do 30 or so tomorrow. Then on Sunday I might go to a little bike run swim thing at my club with my club. So that's, you know, it sounds like a lot of running. You may think I'm a lunatic, but I go through these phases, and this just happens to be an ultra phase. So maybe after this I'll train for a 5K. You never know. Got some good races coming up. I want to tell you about. The first one is the Groton Town Forest Race. That's going to be in October. That's a great little, it's a 3-miler and a 9-miler in the Groton Town Forest in Groton, Mass. You should check that out. And the same day, unfortunately, is the Bay State Marathon, which if you want to qualify for Boston, the Bay State's probably the best place to go to run your qualifier. It's flat and fast and has some nice landmarks. And if you go searching Cool Running, I've done several articles on the Bay State. You can find that. And also coming up sooner than that, in just the end of August, and I'm not sure which day it is, I think it's the Sunday, the end of August, is the Wapak Trail Race, which covers the course that Brian and I ran last weekend. Very technical, very long, very difficult, but if you're a trail runner, it's an awesome course. It really is a nice course. So, was out running on Tuesday, and I always like, it always amazes me the things you find by the side of the road when you're out running. And this was sort of a karma thing, because the door handle broke in the back of my truck, and I got to fix it. And one of the tools I need to fix it is a punch, you know, a metal punch. And I was thinking I'll have to improvise with a nail or something. What did I find in the road when I was out running Tuesday afternoon? the same size metal punch that I need for my door handle. So that's karma. That's good karma from God or from whomever, from the universe. So hope you having a great week as well, and we'll talk to you soon.
And now for the equipment check.
So here is the follow-up on my shoe buying experience this week, or actually the last couple of weeks. I needed both a new pair of road shoes and a new pair of trail shoes. The trail shoes I needed real bad because I'm mostly doing trail training for my Ultra. So I know what kind of shoes I like. So I went out and priced them at where I usually go, roadrunnersports.com. And they were, I think they figured out that the majority of their customers are price insensitive and they can charge whatever they want. But both of these shoes, the Gel Cumulus and the Saucony TR Omni 5, which are the trail shoes, both of these were $96. So I went out and said, okay, if I know what I want, maybe I can do better. For the Gel Cumulus, I picked up a pair of Gel Cumulus 9 from a place, a sporting goods store called Holland Brand Sports in Baltimore for $52 or $58 and free shipping. And for the TRs were a little bit harder to find. I got a couple of orders canceled on me where people said they had them and then didn't have them. But I ended up getting them from shoes.com for $68. Again, free shipping. And it took a couple days to get them. And I just got those today. So, I don't know, that's fairly successful. So you figure I saved, $70 and I got the same shoes. I'd say that's a fairly successful experiment.
And now for our featured interview.
All right. I got you on my cell phone. I'm out in the porch, and it's pouring rain.
Yeah, looks like a pretty nasty night.
Is it pouring rain where you are?
It is.
And we got like the violent thunderstorm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's done this every night this week.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So, yeah, last night, right, when I missed our call, I went running. And my daughter had a softball game, so I ran down to the field, which is like 4 miles from here.
Yeah.
And to get there, I got to cut through some woods, like a couple of sets of woods.
Uh-huh.
And on the way back, I just got lost because the sun went down.
Yeah.
And I was like stumbling around in the woods. I probably wouldn't have made it back in time anyhow because for some reason in my head, I had 9 o'clock in my head. But
did you have a headlight or a flashlight or something?
I did. I brought my my headlamp with me because I knew this time of year it gets dark so fast, right?
Right.
It's like, 5 minutes a day, right? and I brought my headlamp with me, but there was like a full moon and it wasn't quite dark. You know, it was like in between.
Yeah, it was pretty bright.
And it's hard to see because it isn't dark, but it isn't light.
Yeah, well, everything looks different at night anyway, so even if you think you know the trails well, it's quite the experience running them at night.
Yeah, and these were, where I was cutting through, I don't really run it real often, so...
Right.
You know, if it was my home trail, I could do it. I could do it with my eyes closed.
Right. Right.
But, so I was out falling down in the woods. So, here, let me set my timer. We'll go for 25 minutes. How's that?
Sure, that's great.
I'll set my Iron Man for that.
There you go.
So how many ultras have you done, Ron?
I don't know, quite a few. I started a little over 2 years ago. I've done, probably 5 or 6 50s now. Just got done with my second 100-miler, doing another one next week, so starting to add up pretty quick.
Okay, so you've done 5 or 6 50-milers in 2 years, plus a 2 or 3 100-milers?
This will be my third 100-miler coming up next week.
That means you're doing an ultra like every 2-3 months, right?
Last year I did, I did Stonecat 50-miler, Vermont 50-miler, Vermont 100-miler, border to border, 31-miler, the Fat Ass 50K in January, 6-hour run in May. There's something else in May there that we did.
That's amazing.
Marathon. So yeah, and this year I've been trying to do like one a month, one marathon distance or longer a month. So.
So how do you have your body stand up to that kind of abuse?
I'm not sure. a lot of trails, obviously,
right.
The more I stay off of the pavement, the better. And a lot of my running is at a very easy, relaxed pace, so,
But aren't you a pretty fast marathoner? I mean, didn't I hear that from when I was talking to Gary that you're like a sub-3 marathoner?
Yeah.
So what do you slow down to when you're out running, say, 50 miles?
Well, most of my running is at, you know, like the longer stuff is probably somewhere between 8 and 10 or 8 and 12 minute miles, depending on the terrain. But then, yeah, I do one tempo or fartlek type run a week, and you know, one day pretty hard hills. So I get the quality in there, but it's just not day after day of pounding. You know, that I have 2 or 3 days a week where I have specific things I want to accomplish, either speed or strength, and the rest of the time they're just cruising. You know,
right? You must be a little guy. Are you a little guy?
yeah. I'm around, you know, 135, 140. So.
Yeah, well, that's not that little.
Yeah. All, yeah, I guess. I'm not like a Colombian cyclist or anything, but...
So
I guess the scary thing is when you think about these Olympians, you know, Ryan Hall is 5'10", weighs, you know, 135, and I'm 5'6", or 5'7", and I weigh 135, so...
Right. Well, you know, see, for me to run with you, you'd have to carry a 50-pound bag of cement just to even things up.
Yeah, but you guys...
Then we'll see how you do.
Yeah, well, it's just like when I was cycling, you know, you guys got the strength, though. So
yeah, it's true.
I got little chicken legs, you know. They don't go very fast. I think I have maybe 2 fast twitch muscles in my whole body, but
yeah, me too.
Yeah, they just kind
of. So do you walk at all on these ultras, or do you run straight through?
It depends on the distance. I mean, I'm getting to the point now where 50 miles and less, I can run the whole thing. Like I just did Pinelands back in Maine. I ran the whole thing, not a single, you know, didn't walk any of it. But that was a relatively flat course. You know,
just
up down, pretty good footing. But on 100, yeah, you're walking a big part of it.
Yeah, because you're going through the night too, right?
Yeah, it's not so much that. It's like even you know, in Vermont, the last one I did, it was. Pretty tough condition with the weather and stuff, but even at, you know, mile 80 and stuff, I was feeling pretty good. I was running the downhills really nicely, you know, a little bit of quad soreness, but not too bad. The last 10 miles were ugly, but it's the uphills that get you. You know,
yeah.
you're climbing, you know, like I've run Mount Washington, and we're climbing stuff way steeper than that for a lot, you know, for a good part of the course, so.
On the Vermont 50, you're telling me?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's some pretty steep. You know, you're doing backcountry, not on the 50, on the Vermont 50. There's nothing too steep from what I remember, but on the 100 miler, there was a couple of a pretty good climbs.
Couple of mountains, yeah. Like as bad as the Wapak that we were talking about.
Nowhere nearly as technical as that, but a pretty good altitude gain. So
right.
You know, you're hiking like, you know, 18-20% grades, I would guess.
Sure.
You know, but
that's pretty steep.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's only a mile or two, you know, in most cases. But depending on where they come in the race, you know, you're not going to run up those. I don't care who you are. So
yeah, and even if you do, it's useless because you're not going any faster.
That's true, and that's the amazing thing is you'll see at some of these ultras, is, you know, the guys who can power walk or just walk fast will just blow by everybody else.
Yep, I remember that from the Mountain Series last year.
Yep.
I used to have these old guys just power walk right by me on the steep bit.
Absolutely.
And I'd be running, or at least pretending to run.
Yeah. Yeah, spending a lot more energy than they are.
Yep, exactly. So that's pretty cool. So what's this Vermont course like that I'm going to be running? It's my first time doing ultra. And I've done a 30. I'm going to try and get a 30 in tomorrow, although I don't think I'm getting out of bed to do it tomorrow. It looks kind of weird.
I think Sunday's supposed to be the better day of the two, but...
Yeah, maybe I'll push it to Sunday.
Yeah. Vermont 50 is a beautiful, beautiful course. They string a whole bunch of single track together. And I think it's, you know, it's the one day of the year that you can actually run this course because it's all
right,
by plan and everything else.
And private property.
Excuse me?
There's a lot of private property on it.
Yep. And it's, I mean, it goes from, you know, I remember a couple of sections that are just, you know, 1 foot wide, single track through a, you know, lush green undergrowth in the forest. Really nice, zigzaggy switchback type trails where I remember last year, this is around maybe mile 35 or 40, you're just running downhill on the switchbacks, passing the cyclists left and right, because they gotta basically slow down to a walk to get around these switchbacks, and you're just like grabbing onto a tree and spinning around, and you know, keep on running. It's great. There's a couple of decent climbs in there. Nothing too outrageous from what I remember. I think right around mile 20, there's a really nice rest stop at the top of one of the mountains. You know, beautiful view.
Cool.
Nice field running. Couple of miles of road, not too bad though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think I got the conditioning. You know, I did the 130 in the last maybe 12 miles of that 30 was a little tough, but after a while you just start getting used to it.
Exactly.
You hit the wall, and then on the other side of the wall there's just like this other pace.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people. It never hurts anymore. It just, you know, you just get to a point and you just keep on going.
Yeah, it's like a grind.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, I'm sure you've done a bunch of marathons and things of that nature. You know,
yeah.
This is the exact same thing, except the lows will be lower and the highs will be higher. You know, you just get yourself ready. You know, I don't care who you are before you go into it. You're going to have some points where you don't feel good. You're tired, whatever, something hurts. And you're going to feel, you know, or you'll get low on energy and you'll just feel like crap. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, you'll take a gel or eat a sandwich or something, and you'll just be flying. You know, like, you won't believe how good you feel. It just, the swings are bigger.
Yeah, I already found that in my training, even, you know?
Yeah.
That I'll feel really crappy at, you know, mile, I don't know, pick a mile, you know, 18, and then feel okay at mile 24, you know? So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, a lot of it has to do with the hills, too. If you hit a long uphill section while you're low on energy, it kind of beats you up.
Yeah, or the sun, you know, the heat can just take it out of you. But the biggest thing for me is food. I mean, you know, these ultras are basically run on your stomach.
Right.
If you can keep the food going in and getting processed, you'll do fine.
Yeah, and I've been doing that. I've been eating energy balls. And what are those? It's like chocolate and peanut butter and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like them. Good slow burn.
I was going to say, that's the best thing about ultras. You can basically, you know, eat anything you want. And a lot of these races, Vermont 50 being one of them, is you know, like, it's like a 50-mile buffet table. Every restaurant is just, I mean, you know, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, you name it, they got it up there. Soup, you know, pretzel, depending on the weather. You know, fruits, vegetables, salted potatoes are great. Potato chips, you know, M&M's, candy, everything is out there. You won't believe it.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that's useful from having run a lot of marathons is I got a good strong stomach, you know, I can eat almost anything.
Absolutely. So, I can see
beginning runners listening to us and going, eating hamburgers and running, but after a while you're just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother you.
My last 2 years at the 100 mile at Vermont, there's a aid station at mile 60. Is it 66 or, I think it's mile 62, Margaritaville. And both of the last 2 years, I've had the best cheeseburgers in the world. You just get this big, greasy cheeseburger. I think this year I had a turkey sandwich there and some pizza. I mean, I was you know, that was a pretty low point in the race for me. And I just, you know, basically stuffed my gut, walked out of there, and 15 minutes later I was like a new person, you know, just. You know, that long into the race, it settles your stomach. It just does something magical to you.
And you can't drink Gatorade and eat power bars for that long.
Nope.
You don't need carbohydrates. You need food.
Yeah, you need something real food in your stomach.
Yeah,
and awesome. A variety.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So for Vermont too, for the 50 though, the one thing is you know, we were talking about the uphills a bit, but the downhills also, as far as quad strength goes.
Yeah.
If you can learn to relax on the downhills, that's going to be a big help, because you're running downhill basically half the race and uphill the other half. You know, there's not much flat in between. So, you know, a lot of times, the last year I remember, the downhills were actually hurting me more at the end than the uphills.
Sure, because your quads aren't used to it.
Oh, yeah, you're just pounded, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get in. Like I said, I'm gonna do the WAPAC race. And that's going to be good prep. That's almost right before my taper. So that's got some really tough ups and downs. And, you know, it's four mountains out and back, right? So you end up going up eight and down eight, or whatever that works out to be.
Yeah.
Right?
What day is that? That's the middle of September?
It's whatever the last Sunday in August is. It's coming up. It's two or three weeks from now.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, so... And I'll count that as a training run.
Absolutely.
But I think that's close enough to give me some good uphill and downhill, some good strength. But I went out with my buddy. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I was just asking what the distance was on that.
It's only 17 and a half.
But
it runs like a marathon, basically, a marathon plus.
Yeah.
Because you're not running those uphills.
Right. Yeah, you said you went out there with your buddy and it was pretty difficult.
Yeah, I went out there and he was funny because he hasn't been doing a lot of distance, so we ran up Wataynikaneyack in like 12 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I followed him up Wataynikaneyack. We just smoked up Wataynikaneyack, and then at the end he was dragging. We had to take a shortcut.
Jeez.
So we had some pacing issues.
Yeah, that'll come with time.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. This is the first one I've done, you know, something new. I really like the training.
Yeah.
I started out the first couple weeks. I was losing weight like crazy, and I was a little worried that it, you know, wasn't going to start. But now my body's adjusted and is used to the program, and everything's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a shock to your system, but once you get going, it just kind of, your body gets used to it, and it just adapts.
Right, and I can remember the same thing happened when I went through my first couple of marathon programs, too.
Yeah.
You know, you initially lose, like, 5-10 pounds.
Yeah. I'm always amazed when you look back. I still remember, you know, when I would think 8 miles is a long training run or something. You know, you taper before, you take power bars and goo with you. And now 8 miles is like, you know, a lunchtime run when I got no more time. So
exactly.
Your perspective changes when people say you're going out for a long run. You're like, nah, I'm only going to do like 15, 20 today.
So. Yeah, I did that this weekend. I remember saying, oh, this is an easy weekend. I only got to do a half marathon today and a half marathon tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's like a big relief. One thing is squeezing in these 5-hour, 6-hour runs is kind of rough on your weekends.
Oh, absolutely, and I don't know how you are, but I definitely like my sleep, and with the family and three kids and everything else, a lot of times I'm up at 5 a.m. or 5:30 to get out the door. I think the earliest I got out was 5:30 one day, but
yeah.
You'd be back by 11 o'clock, noontime, whatever, and go to the birthday parties and do the errands and whatever else you need to do. But
yeah, and actually that's not too bad, because if you leave the house at 5:30, you're in sort of a trance. So you
go
pretty slow for the first, the first 12 miles or so. You're kind of stumbling anyhow.
You're still asleep for about an hour or two into the run, and then you wake up.
Yeah, it sort of shortens it for you because, you're still asleep.
Yeah. Well, I have a pretty good group of guys that I train with, too, and for some reason they like getting up early and out the door. So I would never do it myself unless I had a really long run plan. But, those guys are out there waiting, so kind of gets you out of bed.
Yeah, I can do it now just because I'm more mature, but, I definitely would rather run in the afternoon or the evening. That's when my body likes to run.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I can remember going to school at nights when I was in my 20s and coming back at 10 o'clock at night and then going for my runs then, right?
Yep. I still do that. When my kids go to bed, I hang out, do whatever I need to do, and usually around 10 o'clock or so I get on the treadmill, usually for, a second run of the day, and, get off the treadmill around 11:15, take a shower, I'm in bed by 11:30, sleeping like a baby.
Yeah, I used to do that when I first started training for Boston, and my kids were little. I'd put them to bed, and the high school track, the middle school track, was only 2.5 miles from my house, so it was perfect, right? I'd run down to the track, do my workout, run home, right? And then you get about a half an hour of really sharp lucidity, and then you're out like a light.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Half by the time you cool down. But everyone asks, can you sleep after working out? And I said, I sleep great. I sleep, like a baby.
Right. It takes like a half an hour, but after that, you fall right asleep. And if you can get a whole bunch of work done in that half an hour because you're like very lucid.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I come home from work and, I could pass out at any minute. But come 11 o'clock, 11:30, I'm wide awake and cranking. So.
Yep, and that's what I try to tell people. People go, "Oh, I can't run out of time." It's like you have plenty of time. You just you're making up rules that are preventing you from running. If your rule is I can only run at lunch or I can only run at 5 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah.
then you're going to miss half your workouts.
Well, it's like anything else. You make time for what's important to you. I always tell people that, you know, if you make time for whatever it happens to be, you know, watching TV or
you know,
working in your car or whatever, you know, to me, you run, you know, I don't. It's not a question of if my run's going to get in that day. It's when it's going to happen. And,
right.
You know, just like you work around your schedule and your family, and you know, I've taken my kids to soccer and run around, or you know, run down.
Yeah, I've done that too.
There and you know.
Yeah. Doing the intervals around the outside of the soccer field.
Yeah. Last week, you know, when you know my family went to a party, and I said, okay, I'll run over there. I'll meet you. You know, I'll be half an hour late or whatever. And it's the only time you have to run. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, I've done. I've actually run errands from my house. You know, run downtown to drop the mail. You know, run to pick something up.
Yeah, that's a great idea. But I guess it's a different mindset. You know, it's like I said, it's what's important to you.
But then you're always the person who gets stuck when you go to the beach. They make you go park the car and then run down to meet them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're the guy who has to always do the extra 3 miles from the parking lot.
Well, my wife complains because she says, you know, I can run all this and I do all this and I'm fast, but she says, you're the laziest, slowest person I know when you're not running, because it's true. You know, like I will, you know, if we have to go shopping, I'm dragging behind. I just can't keep up with her, you know, frantic pace when she's shopping or, you know, walking through the store. Or you know, I'll drive around the parking lot 2 times to get a little closer space. I don't have to walk the extra 20 feet. And I always say it's because I'm conserving my energy, but just because I'm lazy.
So what with all these ultras, you must have some great stories. What's your best story? What's the wackiest thing that's happened to you out there?
Oh geez, what's the wackiest thing that's ever happened to me? You know, I guess luckily not much. It seems like the races are kind of anticlimactic. I've had a lot more excitement in training.
Yeah.
You know, I remember a lot of runs. Like this year in particular, we had one run. We were, I think it was like around April or May. It was May because it was after Boston. But we were out in the woods. I was doing a six-hour run. And about 2 hours into it, the skies just opened up. And
yeah.
We were, you know, running through knee-deep water basically through the trail, just having a blast. You know, it's like you're a little kid again.
Right.
In the water, just awesome, having a great time. But then around 2 more hours, just freezing cold. Like, you know, we couldn't open our gels, our hands were all frozen. And it was only, you know, probably in the 60s, 55, 60, something
right,
like that.
Right, but you were soaked.
But getting soaked for so long, yeah, it was just kind of comical. We're just sitting out there, you know, running right through the middle of these puddles and trying to open our gels. We couldn't tie our shoes, you know. it was pretty funny. Getting lost a lot, you know, a lot of my stories revolve around getting lost. I always joke that, you know, I became an ultra runner by necessity because I would go up for an hour run and wind up 3 hours later, you know, with no food, no water, and still running because I didn't know where
yeah.
I was. So
I travel on business, and that's one of my habits is to just pick a direction and go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I get out 20, 25 minutes or whatever, turn around and start trying to find a way back.
Yeah.
And some of those turn into 2-hour runs.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I do a lot of travel also, and that's kind of the one thing I enjoy about traveling is you know, the hotel rooms are all the same no matter where you go in the world, and the conference rooms and the work and everything else is the exact same. But when I go out to a new place, I go and I run, and I go look for the trails, or I'll go, you know, look for the routes or whatever around there, and that's what I really enjoy. Like, you get to see different places and get some good stories.
Yeah, you're right.
You were asking about a story. I actually, I've been doing a lot of travel to France. We acquired a company over there, so I've been traveling quite a bit there. And there's a route not far, you know, it's in southern France. It's in Nice on the coast, the Côte d'Azur. And there's beautiful mountains inland. And, like, everyone's like, oh, go to the promenade, go run up and down, which is just this, you know, kind of the beach, you know, the strip there, pavement, dead flat.
Yeah.
You can look at.
Yeah.
People, basically, I'm like, no way, I'm going to the mountains. And I found this just wonderful, wonderful route. You know, you start in this quaint little French village. You run up this mountain. You can run to the very top of it, and then you run back down the side. And I'm running through, you know, through this country, and it's very rocky, very hilly. And I hear all these bells in the distance, and I couldn't figure it out. It was a foggy kind of, you know, it was getting a little dark. It was foggy out.
Yeah.
And I keep running, and all of a sudden I'm in the middle of a flock of sheep. there's all these sheep. I'm in the middle of this, like, pasture. And there's still this beautiful trail running through there. I kept running. I run, and there's this enormous dog, like the guard dog for the flock, I guess.
Yeah.
Just sitting there watching it run by. And it was just kind of like this very surreal kind of moment where I'm in running alone in the, you know, and I was running, and, you know, part of the adventure is you don't really know where you are when you're on the trails.
So right.
Out, and I had a map, and it was supposed to be, right around 2-hour run. And about an hour and a half into it, I'm like, you know, I kind of got the sense that I was getting back to where I started, but I wasn't really sure. There was like a rip around one side of the road. I'm like, what do I do if I don't know where I am? You know, it's starting to get dark now. I'm
right.
like, I don't speak a lick of French. Nobody here, because we're in the country, speaks a lick of English. You know, this crazy American comes out on the road somewhere to some farmhouse. You know, it could be an international incident. But
I've only had to knock on a door once when I got lost in Ontario and it was starting to get really cold.
Yeah.
And I was afraid for my life. I had to knock on a door and say, "Where's the Holiday Inn?"
Yeah, that's great. But you know, the story too about ultras is the people that you meet there. You know, when I think back on the ultras, I don't think of any kind of crazy, physical pain or conditions or anything like that. It's always the people that you meet, because, you know, in a marathon, you might say 10 words to somebody, or you may run with somebody for a few minutes. You know, either people are too serious or you're working too hard or whatever. But in the ultras, I mean, you're going to be running with the same people for, you know, 8, 10, 20 hours. So you basically get to know people really well, and the memories from that and the friendships that you make is kind of, you know, one of the big attractions. I think the big differentiators of the sport, too.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. So why do you run, Ron?
I really, really enjoy it. I mean, there's, you know, when I'm out running in the woods...
That's a good answer.
I always tell... What was that?
I said that's a good answer.
When I'm in the woods, I always tell people I'm running. I said there's absolutely nothing I would rather be doing at this point in time than running. It's just, I mean, to me, when I'm out there, that's what it's all about.
Yep, I'm with you that. I just get the energy from the forest. You know, you're going along a nice pine needle path. It's beautiful.
Exactly. The sun coming through the trees or the wildlife or whatever. It's just, you know, there's definitely something about being out in nature and you know, running through a path that is pretty awesome.
All right, believe it or not, we're up against our 25 minutes now.
Wow, that was quick, huh?
See how easy it is?
Yeah. It was great talking to you, Chris, and I look forward. Hopefully we'll get a training run or two in together before Vermont. If not, I will...
I found another one of my buddies who's doing it, too, so I think I'll actually know some people. I'm looking forward to it.
It's awesome. It's a great race. You'll have a great time, and like I said, you'll meet a ton of people, and don't pass up the beer and the... what did they have last year? The pulled pork sandwiches at the end. They're wonderful.
I'll try not to.
It's all right,
man.
Food. Okay, Chris.
All right, cheers.
Take care, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, folks, I'll give you a racing tip today. You know, I don't race that much anymore, and when I do, I don't really put all that much credence on where I finish or that sort of thing. But if you're stressed out about a race, you guys who are running your first 10K or your first half marathon, you're stressed out about it, I would recommend you go and either drive the course or walk the course or bicycle the course ahead of time. And just look at the landscape and see where the road has certain curvatures, and maybe there's some blind corners or some hills or those sort of things. Particularly look at the beginning and try to measure out those first 4 or 5 quarter miles and mark them off in your mind, and then figure out what pace you should be holding on those first 4 or 5 quarter miles. This was very successful for me when I used to race 10Ks because I'd always go out too fast. And the way I stopped myself from going out too fast was to measure the quarters and then time myself at each quarter. And that way I would keep myself from going out too fast. And then at the finish, take a look at a landmark or where you're going to start your kick or where, you know, those landmarks are that you can start to stretch things out. You know, if you know there's a big hill coming or if you know there's a big downhill coming, look at that stuff. It'll take a lot of stress out of the race for you. When you get to be... get to have as many race numbers in your closet as I do, you won't worry about it anymore, but if you're new to the sport, go look at the course first. It'll take some of the stress out of it for you. Okay, folks, that's it. That's episode 17 of Run, Run, Live in the Can. I got some music for you by Robin Sylar. It's called Pretty Girls, and it's a blues song. You kind of like the blues, real traditional blues. Lost my dog. My dog took off in the thunderstorm tonight. One of my irresponsible teenagers let him out, and the electric fence isn't working. He's gone. You know, when he gets scared of the thunder, he just runs, and knowing Buddy, he can run a long way, so wish me luck and hope he comes back home some point. And I got a great show for you next time, next episode, which I should put up tomorrow after my 18-miler on Sunday. It's going to be the all-female review. I got a female interviewee, and I got female tips, and it's all female. So I'm just proving a point that I am not a misogynist old fart. And enjoy. We'll see you out there, my friends.
she took me for a ride. Oh, evil baby, yeah, for sure enough, wasted my life. Now I hope I remember, do not sweep another man's wife.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line. And I will see you out there.